Okay, let's begin. Kuf Chav Zayin Amabez. Kuf Chav Zayin Amabez, towards the bottom of the Amud. We are up to the third wide line. Let's start with the Mishnah. The one here is discussing the different items which the Mishnah listed on the previous daf of Kuf Chav Zayin Amabez. The Mishnah listed items that are not muksa, and therefore you're allowed to move them in order for people to sit down, and items that are considered muksa. So some of the items that are listed that are not muksa are shruma tahora. That was the first one that the Gemara discussed, and the Gemara asked, "I shruma tahora, isn't that pashut pshita?" The Gemara had said yesterday, "No, the chiddush is that it's in the hand of a Yisrael. A Yisrael has truma tahora, and therefore the Havamina might have been, since the Jew, the Yisrael, can't eat the truma, therefore it's considered a muksa for him, kamash balan, because it's roi for a kohen, so that's why truma tahora is okay." And we pointed out the top Tosfos that said that even though sometimes you find, the earlier Gemara seems to be against this, that big de'aniyim la'ashir, if you have a tiny little baguette that's only used for an ani, and for an ashir, it is muksa, so why don't you say the same thing, just like truma for Yisrael? So the answer is no, there's a difference. By the baguette, it's a reality. The ashir never uses this. So that's why it's muksa for him. Masha'en kein, by truma, it is food, it's just that there's an isser that's preventing him. So the isser isn't as inherent in the object as a beged ani la'ashir, and therefore it is worse by the beged. But here it wouldn't be called muksa, because the truma is roi. So why is tevel muksa? Why is tevel muksa? It's still food. Right, so you have to say tevel is somehow more chamor, because it's not roi for anybody. It's that if there's an isser maybe that everybody has, so then maybe that reflects that it's more inherent in the object. Just a suggestion. Non-kosher food, right? Something like that. It might be muksa l'kol. It has the capacity to be mesukan. That's why it's a lower level. Like Tosas pointed out, that it doesn't create mukhan hu eitzel Shabbos. It is mukhan eitzel Shabbos. Therefore, it doesn't create bevatal klimei chano. But it is a lower level of muksa. Non-kosher food you can give to a dog. And tevel you can't, because it's aser b'hana. Okay, so maybe I'm not sure. Okay, v'demai, fourth line. V'demai, fourth wide line. Demai, remember we said is items that you buy from an am haaretz. Meikar adin mida oraisa. We paskin rov am haaretz ma'aser hein. So the rov would tell us that this food is misukan, but because there's a miyot, there's a suffix of a minority of am haaretz that don't take off trumas ma'asers properly. They take off truma gadola, but they don't take off ma'aser rishon, which means they don't take off trumas ma'aser, which is in the ma'aser rishon. So therefore, you have to take it off just in case. So v'demai halo chazilei. So the Gemara says, how could demai not be muksa? It's not roi for you to eat. So the Gemara says, kivin di'iboy mafkele l'nichzei v'havi ani. The chazilei, since a person can be mafkir all of his possessions, and thereby become an ani, and then he'd be able to eat the demai, because an ani is allowed to eat demai, which we'll see in a second. Hashtanami chazilei is so too now, even without his being mafkir, because it's biyado, because it's in his power to put himself into that situation, therefore it's considered roi. It's not, as the Mishnah says in the third parak of demai, ma'achilin esa aniyim demai veso achsanya demai. The Mishnah says you're allowed to give an ani and an achsanya and a traveler, I guess, demai. Because again, me'ikir hadin, it's rovame aras ma'asrenein. V'yamar Ravuna even says it's a machlokas tanat between Beishamay Beishilo. Beishamay omer main machilin zaniyim demai veso achsanya demai. Ubeishilo omer machilin zaniyim demai veso achsanya demai. So at least Beishilel is holds that you're allowed to give an ani demai, and therefore it is mutter. Sorry. So the Meiri here points out, we mentioned this Meiri before, haraya from this Gemara that you're allowed to be mafkir on Shabbos, even though there's, and nobody can't argue with the Gemara with the Gzeira to Rabbanan of Masa Umatan on Shabbos in terms of Mekach Umemkar, but outside of that there are machlokas Rishonims. What about Matana on Shabbos? What about Hefker on Shabbos? Hefker on Shabbos we discussed a little bit a couple last week or so by the Deleika, when you say Kala called a matzaleinu mafsid, when the Mishnah described that that's based on hefker. So you're allowed to be mafker on Shabbos. So Rova the Rishonim say you're not allowed to be mafker on Shabbos. But that's we related to the Ramban at the beginning of Pesachim about bittel. The Ramban proves that bittel isn't hefker because you're allowed to be mavadal on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to be mafker on Shabbos. But the Meiri quotes this Gemara. This Gemara here, the Meiri says that you're allowed to be mafker on Shabbos. What would the other Rishonim say? That doesn't really mean, A, you know, even if you're mafker, it would work. You know, it's not that you're supposed to. And B, maybe it's not even saying that you can lamaisa do it, but it's, you know, theoretically, it's in your midaraisa, it's in your power, and therefore, at least conceptually, we connect the Zemai to you. Okay, so think about what this says. Tosfos says, it's a good question. The second Tosfos, D-E, Tosfos says, 1 second. The Gemara says, Truma is not moksa because it's right for a Kohen. Demai isn't moksa because you can make yourself into an ani. Why doesn't the Gemara just say Demai isn't moksa because it's roi for an ani? What does that have to say? Because you can be mafkarit. Just like it said Truma is roi because you can give it to a kohen, say Demai is roi because you can give it to an ani. What do you have to say? Because you yourself can become an ani. So Tosfos says in D.E. Have you matzil the give it the chazi inachinami. You could have said, you know, because it's roi for ani, but because there's a way here to get it right even for you. So the Gemara went out of its way to try to make it right even for you.
Also,
ani is kameis on a hashkafic level. That's not, you know, so you can give it to an ani. So you don't say that something's all the stuff of an ani is muksa. No, he's a person. I mean, he's even if an ani kameis, I don't think that should have ramifications for this halacha. The Ritva though has a suggestion, maybe there's a possibility why Bedafka by Demai is somehow more muksa than Truma, and therefore the Gemara has to figure out a way why Demai can become Roy for you, even though Truma, Roy for a Kohen is good enough, even though it's somehow counterintuitive, says the Ritva. The Ritva says, the Truma lochazi elo lakohen lo liyisrael. Truma is kind of, this is the way it's supposed to be. This is its ultimate goal, is to go to a Kohen. There's nothing wrong with it. And therefore, the fact that it could go to a Kohen, that's enough to say it's fit even for a Yisrael, it's not called Muksa. But Demai, Chazi L'Didei, really, Meikar Adin Demai, he could eat. I'm a Yisrael, I'm allowed to eat Demai, it's just that I'm going to have to be Misaki in it. I'm going to have to be Mafrish. And until I'm Mafrish, there's a problem with this Tfua. That's why it's even more, it's more Muksa than Truma, and I would have to find a way to make it right for myself. Interesting, you might have said, Truma is never going to be good for me. Therefore, it's more muksa. The Ritva says maybe just the opposite. Truma is never right for me, but it is in its roi state. It's roi for the Kohen, and therefore it's not muksa. Mashenki Demai is not in its roi state, and therefore it's going to be muksa unless I could get it roi for myself. And that's how the Ritva quotes Tosfos, that he says maybe you could say, the Gemara says, Bedafka, kiva de iboi mafkulei. And there's one more possibility. So we have the Tosfos, we have the Ritva, and then one more the Rav Soloveitchik has in one of the Masorah journals in number Tess. He has another suggestion. He says, maybe, you know why Demai is worse? Because let's say we know the halacha is, the Gemara says, a nani can eat Demai. Does that mean it's mutter to eat Demai totally? So the Rav Soloveitchik proves from a number of sources that even when an nani eats Demai, it's not because it's mutter, it's still machalas asuros. But you have a kula. Because it's staka, because it's too hard for him. So we waive this Isser Durabanan, but it's not that it's totally 100% mutter, totra, what we would call. Because if you look at the Rambam and the Pirush Mishnah is there on that Mishnah, the Rambam says, the Ani's not eat Demai, kidei lahakel aleinu hatstaka. Or, there's another raya that the Mishnah continues and says, harotze lasaki nisakin. Any Ani who can be mafresh should be mafresh. What do you mean? It's mutter. What does that mean mafresh for? The answer is no, it's not mutter. He has a heter to eat it. So inherently, though, it's still machalas asuros. That's why Demai, you have to make yourself roi. That's why it's worse than Truma. Vasheki, Truma's not machalas asuros. Truma's mutter to a kohen, 100%. So that's why there could still be a difference between Truma and Demai. Okay, so we have Tosfos, we have the Ritva, and we have the third approach of Rav Soloveitchik.
So, by Tepo, we said that the Tafili can't be
mafri.
If you are
mafri,
it's good. So
why
not say the same thing about Demai? Rather,
be mafri, it's possible. Well, Tevel is different than Demai in that Tevel is, we're talking on a Daraisa level. Which on the one hand might make it worse. Might make it worse, like we said. But on the other hand, might make it, not to think about. Sometimes, the fact that it's worse makes it better. Like here, the fact that Demai is weaker makes it worse in a sense. Okay, let's continue. Umaisa Rishon Ela Truma. So, the Mishnah says, Maisa Rishon, that its Truma was taken off. Which means what? Again, the Pashas means that the order, you're supposed to take off Truma Gadola, that goes to the Kohen, then Maisa Rishon, that goes to the Levi. The Levi, from his Maisa Rishon, takes off, which is a tenth of what was left, takes off Truma's Maisa. he takes off truma from his meiser and gives that to the kohen. That is the same halacha as truma gedola. If Yisrael eats truma's meiser, it's chayiv misa v'dei shamayim. Right? It has the same status of truma. So says the Mishnah. The pasha of the Mishnah is meiser rishta that he took off truma. It's truma. Truma's meiser. So where says pshita? Okay, of course that's not muksa. So what's the chiddush? So the lo tzricha shekhtima b'shibolin v'nitla hemenet truma's meiser lo nitla hemenet truma gedola. No, the chiddush is that the case of the Mishnah is talking about where the levi went very early in the processing of this grain, and even while it was still in its bundles, the levi went to take his meiser even before the chiyuv of truma gedola kicked in. So he took off Truma's Meiser from his Meiser Rishon, but he didn't take off Truma Gedola. V'chihad amar Reva or amar Reish Lakish, Meiser Rishon shekhtiva b'shibolin patur mishum Gedola. And following the halacha of Reish Lakish says, if you take your Meiser Rishon so early in the process, before you do Meiruach, before you gather up and make the piles in the field, so then you don't have to take off Truma Gedola. Meiser, you're not supposed to. You're supposed to go in order. Rashi here quotes that there's a pasuk in, I think in Parshas Mishpatim, Malei Aschav Le'machal Osa Acher. There's a mitzvah to go in order by the Matnas Kahuna. By taking off, you're supposed to first take off Bikurim, and then Truma, Gadola, and then Meiser Rishon, and then the Levi takes off Truma's Meiser, and then Meiser Sheni. Everything's supposed to be in order. So this guy, he took off too early. He's not going to get Malkus for it because he didn't take it off out of order later in the process. But he still didn't do the correct order. So he took off Meiser Rishon before there was a Chiv of Truma Gadola, because Truma Gadola is only when it's ready to be taken into the house. So says the, or even later. So says the Gemara, that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. It's referring to this kind of case where he took off Truma's Meiser, but he didn't take off Truma Gedola, and that's not Muksa, because he took it off early enough that there is no Chiv of Truma Gedola. Shenema v'hari mosim imen trumas Hashem Meiser mena Meiser. The Pasuk says you should take off from the Truma Meiser from Meiser. Meiser mena Meiser, amarti l'cha v'lo Truma Gedola, Truma's Meiser mena Meiser. The Levi has to take off one Truma from his Meiser, but not two Trumas from his Meiser. You're telling me that you don't have to take off Truma Gedola when you take it off at an early stage? So what happens even after it's in the silo? Even after you piled it up? Say you don't have to take off Truma Gedola then either. So Gemara says, no, you can't say that much of a Chiddush. There's a pasuk that has an inclusion. From all your matanos, you have to be toreim, which includes that once it's in the kri, once it's in the pile, then you have to take off Truma Gedola. Earlier out in the field, if the levi took his Meiser Rishon then he precluded the chiyuv. He got it beforehand. He preempted the chiyuv of Truma Gedola from kicking in, and therefore he doesn't have to take off Truma Gedola, which was what the Yisrael was supposed to take off first. But once it gets later, once the chiyuv of Truma Gedola kicks in, so then he's going to have to take off Truma Gedola. Umar Ra'isa, why do you say that just because later in the process you have to take off Truma Gedola and earlier in the process you don't? So high itkin, high low itkin. Gemara answers that no, the difference is because, as I just explained, if it's not dogun yet, if it's not piled in the piles yet, so then the chiyuv of Truma Gedola hasn't kicked in. Masha'enkin, later in the process, that's when the chiyuv of Truma Gedola kicks in. So if the levi waits till then to take his Meiser Rishon, then he's also going to have to take off what the Yisrael was supposed to take off, the Truma Gedola. Okay, so the chiddush of the Mishnah just for us is that even if the levi does this in a mutter way, meaning he took it off before Truma Gedola kicks in, that's not called muksa. Second to last line, Meiser Sheni, the Mishnah said, Meiser Sheni and Hektish that were redeemed is also not Muksa. So again, the Gemara says, Pshita. That's obvious. Meiser Sheni that was redeemed. That means you had fruit in your backyard out in Tveria or somewhere, and you don't want to schlep it up to Yerushalayim, so you redeem it. You change the Kedusha onto money. You take that money up to Yerushalayim, then you buy foods in Yerushalayim for that money. So, Meiser Sheni that was redeemed. So you have this food now. You did everything wonderfully, perfectly. So what's the chiddush that this is in muksa? I redeemed it. So Pshita, the Gemara says, no. Lo tzricha shenasan asakeret v'lo nasan asachomesh. The halacha is that when the owner himself redeems his Meiser Sheni, he has to add on a fifth. A fifth more, he has to buy a fifth more to add on to his Meiser Sheni. This is a fifth, what we would call 25%. It's a fifth milavar. Let's say it was worth, your Meiser Sheni was worth $100, so you have to buy for $125. That's a fifth after you add on the extra. That's what a fifth is in halacha. So let's say a guy redeemed his Meiser Sheni, but he didn't add on the chomesh. So the Gemara says, that's the case of our Mishnah, hakamash ma'adein chomesh ma'akev. It's to teach me that it's a mitzvah to add on a fifth, but if you don't, it's not ma'akev, it's not called muksa, the food is still mutter. That's the chiddush of the line of Meiser Sheni. But it's not Ma'amer who says you're doing this on Shabbos. You're not doing this on Shabbos. You have this food on Shabbos, but everything was done before Shabbos. V'hatermes ha-yavesh, a dried bean. V'dafka yavesh, says the Gemara, only a dry bean is, remember the dry bean that the Gemara had, the Mishnah had said, V'hatermes ha-yavesh v'reshu machal la'aniyim. You're allowed to move dry beans because it's food for poor people. So says the Gemara, only dry beans. Avalach lo, my time, akivin demar lo achla. But not moist ones, because they're very bitter, nobody would eat them. Avalach es ha-tevel, the top of the amud. But now the contrast. Everything so far we had in the explaining the Mishnah was everything that was mutter, that was not muksa, and we had to explain what the chiddush was. So now we're in the second part of the Mishnah, which is all the muksa items. Avalo is a tevel, v'chulu. But tevel is muksa, and therefore you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos. Pshitas, the Gemara says, the same way that we said it was obvious to move the earlier things, it's obvious that you're not allowed to move muksa. Of course, tevel is muksa. Not allowed to move tevel. Pshita lo tzricha, but tevel tavel midrabanan. Kugon shezara ba'atzah she'eino nakav. We're talking about a tevel on a drabanan level. Tevel on a drabanan level, meaning it's in an atzah she'eino nakav. What does that mean? Is it a flower pot, which we discussed a couple weeks ago? A flower pot that is on the ground, but it does not have a hole in it. So therefore, some of the air, the Gemara talks about the lachus, the air and the moisture near the ground helps the plant somehow, but it's not connected directly to the ground. So therefore, even there, the chiddush is, even though it's only chayiv in shumas and maestras, and it's only connected on a drabanan level to the ground, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that even tevel on a drabanan level is also considered muksa. Valom of Meiser Rishon, Shelonit Lachumaso, that's what the Mishnah said. Meiser Risha Shelonit Lachumaso, correct. Meiser Risha that didn't have its truma taken off. So Pshita, the Gemara says, that's obvious. If you have Meiser Rishon that the Levi didn't take off his Trumas Meiser, of course that's Muksa. So that's the Havamin of Gemara, like Rashi here points out, that we think it means that he didn't take off his Trumas Meiser. So Gemara says, Lo Tzricha Shekdimu Bakri. No, the case of the Mishnah, the Kiddush is that you took, the Levi went to take his Meiser Rishon after the Chiyuv of Truma Gedola already kicked in. But it didn't take off Truma Gedola. And Ma'u Datema Kedamalei Rafabal Abaya, and you might have had a Havamina to say like the suggestion that we had on the bottom of the previous Amud, that maybe even after it's piled up, you should say he doesn't have to take off Truma Gedola. Kamashvalan Kedashani Le Abaya, and the Kamashvalan, no, like we answered on the bottom of the previous Amud, that only if the Levi preempts very early in the process, before the Chiv of Truma Gedola kicks in, does he then not have a Chiv to take off Truma Gedola? But if he takes it off after the Chiv of Truma Gedola kicks in, not only does he have to take off the own Truma that he usually has to take off to give to the Kohen, but he has to take off the Truma that the Yisrael was supposed to give to the Kohen because the Yisrael's Chiv had already started. That's the Chiddush of the line of the Mishnah, Meiser Rishon. The lowest Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni that was not redeemed is Muksa. Pshita, that's also obvious. So lo tzricha sheniftu v'lo niftu kilchasid. It means that was redeemed, but it was not redeemed properly kahalacha. Meiser shepetoa gabi asimon. Meiser was redeemed. What does that mean? That you poted it with an asimon. What's an asimon? That doesn't mean the old things that they used to put into the phones in Israel. It means a coin that does not have a tzura on it. Does not have a picture on it. Which is a different kind of coin that you're not supposed to use for pidyon meiser sheni. Derachmana amar v'tzarta hakesef biyadecha. Because the verb that the Torah uses to say that you're supposed to take the money back after you redeemed is you're supposed to be tsarta, supposed to form literally the money in your hand. Davar sheish bo tsura, and the limud is a coin that has a tsura on it. So that's if you didn't use a tsura, so that's why the redemption was not done. The pidyon was not proper, and therefore the food is still muksa. Hektish shechilo al gabi karka. Hektish, what's the impropriety of how to redeem hektish? You're mechalid on karka, meaning there's instead of giving the Beis HaMikdash money, you gave the Beis HaMikdash karka, which you're not supposed to do. Drachman Amar v'nasad hakesef v'kamlu. You should give money, and then the hektish will be yours. It works. Let's say I want to be makdish my backyard to hektish. You know, what's the Beis HaMikdash going to do with my backyard out away? So they're going to sell it. But let's say if you buy something from hektish and you give a piece of land, so that is not lechadchila. What about paper money? So what about kesef? What about paper money? So I think that's a discussion in the what halachic status that has. What about checks? It's a big discussion in the Nosei Kelim on Shulchan Aruch. What does a check have? That's why I tell my talmidim when they buy the wedding ring, I say give cash. you know, cash. I don't know, they have to give them coins, but like a check, or the whole question, what is it? What is a check? You give it, and then it goes back later, and it might bounce. And if it doesn't bounce, when is it called? What about credit card also? You're not paying right now. So when does it become yours? When did you pay, you know, by credit card, by check? Cash, you know, but the paper money is, I think there's a shach in Yoredei, and Hilchos Pidyon HaBen. I think he discusses it. To look it up. I think that's the way the discussion is, by Pidyon HaBen. V'lois HaLuf. And luf is also muksa. What's luf? So the end of the Mishnah had said, luf and chardal are muksa. It's the type of kidneyos, Rashi says, the type of bean that even animals don't eat. And Rav Shimon ben Gamliel had been matur luf because ravens eat it. It's machal orvim. What's the issue of ravens? We'll see, only the very rich and famous have ravens in their house. But Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is matur luf because it's machal for ravens. Tana Rabbana. You're allowed to be metaltel chatzav, which is a type of grass, because it's food for deer. And chardal you're allowed to be metaltel because it is animal food, meaning inherently it's not muksa, it has a usage. Even glass shards, you're allowed to be metaltel b'reishu machal anamios, because it's ostrich food. And ostriches eat shards of glass in order to help their digestive system or something. Or maybe I don't think they do it by mistake. Gemara seems to say that this is part of what they do. Amalei Rav Nasan. So Rav Nasan says to Rav Shimon Gamliel, one second. Elameata chabili zmerzi talto b'reishu machal apilim. You're telling me that just because glass shards are right for an ostrich, therefore it's not muksa? So what about vines? Chavilas words, bundles of vines, which the Mishnah had said, everybody agrees is muksa, and you have to do something to. The end of the Mishnah, on our Mishnah, vines, everybody agrees is muksa. So Rav Nasan says back to Rav Shimon Gamliel, one second, if you're saying that glass shards aren't muksa because there's one animal out of the blue that could eat it, so the vines also shouldn't be muksa because elephants eat it, pelin eat it. So Rav Shimon Gamliel, what would he answer back? Everybody agrees that's muksa. Nama shrichi pilin lo shrichi. No, ostriches are more common than elephants. And therefore, the ostrich food wouldn't be muksa, while the elephant food would be muksa. Let's continue for a minute. Amra Meimar, we'll get to your point. Amra Meimar, now we have a machlokas within Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel has said that the broken glass shards are right for ostriches. So a Meimar has a limit on Rav Shimon Gamliel. V'hud de'islei namios. That's only if you have a pet that's an ostrich, or there's a lot of ostriches running around your town. That's where you will say it's not muksa. But if they're not there, so then it's you don't have this heter. Amar Rav Ashi la Meimar. Rav Ashi says, one second. El dekamalei Rav Nasan Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Nasan argued with Rav Shimon Gamliel, right? He had a taina against him. Chavid is versi tal de'reishu machal apilin. Iislei pilin. Amai lo. So what his taina was, aren't chavilas versus muksa? One second, according to your svara, it all depends, you know, whether you have it or not. So if you have an element, elephant, it shouldn't be muksa. So what's the issue of, oh, these are more shchiyah? Just say, if you have it, you have it. If you don't, you don't. So Ella Roy, Hakanami Roy. So Rav Nasan, Rav Ashi argues. Rav Ashi says that Rav Shimon Gamliel never meant if you have it. No, it just means inherently. Ostrich food is more shchiyah. Ostriches are more shchiyah. So therefore, even if you don't have to have an ostrich, but it's generally more shchiyach, and that's why it is going to be non-muksa. Right, people don't keep, maybe that's part of it, but it's not that you have to have an elephant as a pet. So that's a machlokes within Rav Shimon Gamliel. What if you live in India? In a chinami. So if it's in a place where it's shchiyach, then maybe it wouldn't be muksa. There's an interesting machlokes in Kiddushin. We're not going to look it up inside, save time. The Rifa here quotes it. It's a machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. The Gemara in the first parak of Kedushin, a very long parak, 40 blot, the Gemara there talks all about kinyanim. How are your kona different items? So how do you kona a chair? So you can pick it up. You know, how do you kona, you know, most things, you could do hagbah, you could do meshicha, pull it, you could do chazaka, you could dig something in the field. How are you kona an elephant? Right, how are you kona an elephant? So get it to move. What if you call it and it comes? So they're different. That's kinyan mosera. But there the Gemara says, use chavile zmuros. So what does chavile zmuros mean? So Rashi there says, put the chavile zmuros on the floor and have the elephant walk on the chavile zmuros. Tosfos says, so why do you pick chavile zmuros? Have any branch. Have the elephant walk on the branch. And that's called hagbah, when he lifts up his feet and goes onto the vines. So that's what Rashi Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam says, what do you mean, chavile zmuros? Pick anything that he picks himself up on. So Rabbeinu Tam says, no, it means chavile zmuros. You hold the chavile zmuros up in the air, because you have to be on a ladder, and the elephant goes up to get the chavile zmuros, because that's what they eat. Haraya Argamar. Right? Because Argamar says, the Ritva says, Argamar is a riot for Rabbeinu Tam. Because Argamar says the chavile zmuros are elephant fodder. So that's just a hara about next time you want to be Conan an elephant, look into the kinyanim beforehand. Okay, continues the Gemara. Amar Abaya. Reb Shimon Gamliel, Reb Shimon, Reb Yishmael, Reb Akiva, Kulus Fira, Luhu Kalis, Rabbanim Malachim Hain. All of these opinions hold that Jews in general are considered royalty, and therefore certain halachas kick in. Reb Shimon Gamliel held to Amar and Rashbag, like what we just said. Rashbag, what did we just say? Ostriches and ravens in the Mishnah are only royalty pets. Yet Rashbag says that the food of these animals is not muksa. It must be because he considers all Jews like royalty, and therefore they could all consider those not muksa. Reb Shimon, what does Reb Shimon say? Something we had also earlier. Ditzan, Reb Shimon had said, Madei Malachim Sachan Agabe Bakosei and Shemen Vered, in the discussion of Refua. Reb Shimon had said that the Tanakhama had said that Bnei Malachim, royalty, can anoint themselves with oil on their wounds, because that's Derech, that's not Nikar, that you're doing it for medicinal purposes. Shkindarka Shebnei Malachim Lasuf Bachol, remember that was the Yisod there. Anything that's not Nikar for Refua is Mutter. Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon there had said, all Jews are considered royalty, and therefore they're allowed to anoint themselves with this Shem and Verit. Reb Yishmael, Reb Akiva, where did they say it? Titania, the Brisa says, let's say somebody owes 1,000 mana to somebody else, 1,000 mana. Velavish Isla Baskuf mana, and he's wearing a very fancy coat that's worth 100 mana. Mafshitin oso, Mabishin oso, Isla Ru'uyalo. So what does the Tanakhama say? We take his coat off, we make him sell it in order to start paying back the money, and we give him a less expensive coat. Tana Mishum Rabbi Ishmael, Vatam Mishum Rabbi Akiva, Kol Yisrael Ruilos Itzdala. Mishum Rabbi Akiva say, no, we don't do that. All Jews are very fancy, special, royalty people. Therefore, they can keep on this fancy coat. They don't have to use it towards paying back the creditor. Okay, so all of these opinions hold that Bnei Yisrael are treated like royalty. Chavila Kashva, Chavila Zmuros. Oh, if you look back in the Mishnah, part 3 of the Mishnah. The Mishnah had 3 parts, now we're up to the 3rd part. Part 3 of the Mishnah had said, these bundles of straw and wood, if you prepare to them for animal food before Shabbos, then you're metal to them, and if not, you can't be metal to them. Says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan according to Tosefta. Right, that's the same as the Mishnah, that if you prepare them before Shabbos, fine, if not. So now the following couple of lines have, the first line has to do with Muksa. These bundles, these chavilin, as long as they're small enough to be carried with one hand, it's mutzah to be metaltel, because you could assume those are muchan. But if you have to use two hands as a huge tircha, then it's usher to be metaltel them. Now, the continuation of the Tosefta has nothing to do with Muksa, but it's the end of the Tosefta. So the Gemara calls it Chavilei Seya Ezov the Koranis, the bundles of these types of grasses and herbs. Hechnisan La'etzim Ein Mesabe Behem B'Shabbos. I'm sorry, the beginning has to do with Muksa. I take that back. If you brought them in to use as firewood, then you can't use them on Shabbos because you've designated them for a Muksa purpose. L'macha Behem Mesabe Behem B'Shabbos. But if you designated them for animal food, so then it has a use for you on Shabbos, and therefore you could even use it on Shabbos, because these are types of spices and herbs that generally are used for animal food, but once in a while they can be used for human consumption. The kotim biyad ba'ochel, you can even pick them up and break them apart and eat them into small pieces. Ubilvad shelo yiktam b'kli, as long as you don't cut it up finely with a kli. What's the potential malacha here? So Rashi explains what we had back in the 7th parak in Klal Gadol, that is tochein. We know that if you dice something on Shabbos, you're not supposed to dice on Shabbos. Cut something up very finely, because that could be an issue of tochein. So here too, if you cut it up with a kli, it appears like tochein grinding. Umolel va'ochel, and you're allowed to, if there's a outside cover on these items, you're allowed to rub it with your fingers to take off the pod and eat it. Rabbi Yehuda says as long as you don't do a lot of them in it with a separating instrument. Melila already gets into dosh discussions, threshing, taking off the outside husk in order to get to what's inside. The Chachamim Omrim, Mola Brashi as posav ochel. The Chachamim even say you can't even use the palm of your hand, which is how you usually do Malila. You have to use the edges of your fingers and eat it that way. As long as you don't do Malila, taking off the pods in a usual way. We discussed this a little bit in the 7th Parak when we discussed about taking off shells and peels, when Menachem discussed with you these malachas. Also, by these other spices, the same halacha applies. And the guys, Gemara is just going to say, what are these spices? Maya Misa, Nina. Sia, what's Sia? Amar Yehuda, Sasre. Ezov, Avarza. Koranis, Karnisa, Shma. because they knew what these were. There was a story that somebody wanted karnisa and it was found to be chashi. So you see, karnisa isn't Koranis. So Gemara says, Ella, I'll change it for you. Seya is sasri. Ezov is avarsa. Karnisa is chashi. Okay, period. It's mar. Let's continue. Basar maliach, if you have salted meat on Shabbos, mutter lataltala b'Shabbos, then you're allowed to be metaltala on Shabbos, if it's salted meat. Right, Rashi says the less lay muksa betotal. There is no muksa. It refers to later, but that's the upshot. It's salted already, right? You have to do malicha in order to get out the blood. It's usually the whole halachas of malicha. When we go to the butcher nowadays, it's already salted. But if somebody if you go to the factories and there's if they're 100 years ago they used to do the malicha themselves.
What's the difference between salted meat and not salted meat?
Oh, because you're not going to eat it raw. You're not going to eat it raw anyway.
Right.
So A, this masa maliach might mean totally ready to eat. Or B, let's say, as long as it's salted, there's nothing halachically problematic. We don't eat it because of health reasons. But, there are some people that in Bizban HaGemara that used to eat things raw, as we'll see in a minute. Basar tafel, but unsalted meat. Rafuna amar mutal tatalo, Rafchista amar azal tatalo. Machlok is Rafuna and Rafchista. Rafuna amar mutal tatalo, Rafuna says it's mutavi matatal unsalted meat. For one second, while Rafuna talmud de Rav habi. Rafuna is a talmud of Rav. Rav could be hudis virali, just like muksa. And Rav was like Rabbi Yehuda. So how could Rav Huna say that it's mutter to move this unsalted meat? What about muksa? So Gemara answers, b'muksa la'achila sava like Rabbi Yehuda, b'muksa la'tata sava like Rabbi Shimon. No. When it comes to a very important line, there's different types of muksa. There's muksa for eating and there's muksa for moving. Muksa for eating, you're right, that's when he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So he says he's not allowed to eat something that wasn't designated before Shabbos. But muksa la'tiltul, he holds like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, again, who we all like, who holds of less muksas. And therefore, you would be able to move this. This would not be called muksa machmas gufa. Rav Chizda, that was within Shitas Rav Huna. Rav Chizda amar aser l'tatzlo. Rav Chizda, that is aser. Rav Chizda bar imi ikla l'bei Rav Chizda v'chaza. He went. Rav Chizda bar ami went to visit Rav Chizda v'chaza hu bar avza, and they saw a shechted rooster. Tavi kol matatzlo le mishim shlo tula, and they were moving it from the sun where it was going to get spoiled into the shade. V'amar Rav Chizda chizrim kiska chazin and hachen. Rav Chizda says, we're going to lose a lot of money, so therefore we have to move it. Rav Chizda said, you're not allowed to move in unsalted. Unsalted meat. So how can he be moving this rooster? Shani Baravza the Chazila Umsa says the Gemara. No, Baravza, a rooster, is different because some of them would eat it raw even without salting it. Rashi says Kshuchai Ochlan So Below Malach even without salting it. And Tosfos here points out Mikan Raya. Tosfos is a Raya here that if you have Dam Evarim Shelo Piresh, certain there are different kinds of Dam. There's Dam that comes out when they shechted. There's Dam that stays in the bone, the limbs. So Tosfos is like from our Gemara that it seems to say that it's mutter to eat this unsalted rooster, right? If you eat it raw, if you have that type of person, it sounds like there's no Isser of Dam, even though there's an Isser of Achilas Dam. It says it a couple of times in the Torah. So it sounds like this, if the Dam Eivarim that never was separated from the place where it's supposed to be, that is not halachically called Dam, and it's mutter to eat it. Again, there's a Dam is a complicated, there's a whole simon in Shulchan Aruch, a whole section in Shulchan Aruch on Achilas Dam, different types of Dam, and even Dam of animals, what's muksa, what's aser. Sometimes you get a piece of meat from the butcher, and you still see red. So what does that mean? It's if the wash it off. So again, once you do certain types of malicha, it doesn't have the status of dam. Some dam that never comes out. Gemara the Gwiddig of Chulin talks a lot about this. But here Tosfos says this Gemara is a raya that dam evarim, which never was poresh from the rest of the animal, is mutter. Yeah.
What about if you use the meat for other purposes?
If you designated it before Shabbos, then it'll be okay. But you can't, once it's muksa ben hashmashas, then you can't. But let's say you have a piece of raw meat in your freezer. And then somebody gets a boo-boo or something on Shabbat. You have to use it to put on the eye. It's a big question. Are you allowed to use a piece of raw frozen meat to put on, to put down swelling? So it's better to use something in the freezer that, like an ice thing that's meant for that. The piece of raw meat, it's a whole question. Let's say you have a challah in your, you have a frozen challah in your freezer. And let's say you have a piece of raw meat on top of the challah, and you want to take out the challah. So is it a basis? Right? Is it a basis? You want to take it out to use for challah, use for lacha mishnah. So you have to try to remember not to arrange your freezer in a way before Shabbos if you're going to be using that lacha mishnah. Right. Well, usually sometimes you take one thing out, the whole thing dominoes. But it's true. Okay, three lines from the bottom. Tanur Rabbanan. Dag maliach. What about salted fish? Right, we get into the raw fish already. You know, we're more used to, right. We've known. We learned a couple of months ago that you know the halachas of Bishul Akka might have changed over the past 10 years because more people eat sushi. Dag maliach mutar l'taltalo, dag tafel asur l'taltalo. So dag maliach, if it's salted, mutar. If it's not salted, asur to move. Basar bein tafel bein maliach mutar l'taltalo. Basar, whether it's salted or not, mutar, like Rav Huna earlier. You're allowed to move bones. Let's say you ate a piece of chicken and there's bones on the table, so you're allowed to move them. They're not muksa because dogs would love to chew on these bones. Basar that's putrid, that's smelling. A piece of meat is also not muksa because a chaya could eat it. Mayim megula mreishu hein ruyin lachatul, revealed water. And there's halachas in the Bismana Gemara that you weren't allowed, once water was left overnight revealed, then you weren't allowed to drink it because you're worried that a nachash came and put poison into the water. So says the Gemara, though, that by Magulin, that water is not muksa because a cat would eat it. The cats eat snakes themselves, Rashi says, so surely the poison in the snake is not going to bother the cat. Rav Shimon Gamliel Amar, call Atman also the shows of Rias Akkar. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, you can't have them this in the house. Forget it being muksa or not, you're not allowed to have this in the house because somebody might drink it. So you just got to get it out of the house as soon as possible. Right, do you say Roy Leet and Lekelop? That's what this I don't know, would the animal eat raw meat? So again, according to this Manda Amar, if it's that type of meat that they would, like Menachem said, so maybe it would be, if you've designated it before Shabbos, it would be Roy. Or even if not, maybe it's inherently Roy to give to the animal. Mishnah, Kovan says Alav Neafrochim, you're allowed to turn over a basket in front of chicks, Kadesh Yalav Yerdu. We have this all the way back in the Mem Gimel. That, so let's say if you want your chicks to be able to go over, let's say there's something on the ground that you don't want the little chicks to walk in, so you can put a basket there and the chicks will go over. The Gemara earlier had said this is not Mabatzal Kli Meheicha, no. It doesn't make something muksa because the chicks aren't going to stay on. It's going to go up and it's going to go on. Tosfos brought this. We're going to have a whole Mishnah here and Gemara, which talks about how you're not allowed to touch animals directly on Shabbos, right? You're not allowed to touch and move the chicks. Tosfos brought this Araya all the way back on the Mehama Bays. There was a day of Rav Yosef who said, if you have a pet, it's not muksa, because it's considered a toy. Yeah, Tosfos, all Rishonim there argue on that day, partly because of this Mishnah. Because this Mishnah is Araya. The Mishnah, we're going to have different Tzrachim to move animals. You're not going to be able to move it directly. Animals are considered muksa, right? Petting a dog. You shouldn't pet a dog on Shabbos because there it's muksa. So Kovet has a Salaf Ne'afrochim, so you're allowed to put a basket on before the chicks so they could go up and down. Tarnagola Shabarcha, let's say you have a hen that ran away, that ran out of your field. So now already there's a Tzorach. Let's say there are certain animals that your pets that went out of your field and it's dangerous for them. You're worried about their safety. You're worried about their health. So you're not allowed to still not allowed to move it directly, mamish, pick it up and bring it back. Unless there's no choice, according to some poskim, but you're allowed to move it a little bit. What are you allowed to do? So first, by a ten, dochen osachi tikanes. You basically give it a little push. You give it a little push until it goes back in. Midadin agalam v'siachim, by calves and other larger animals, you're even allowed to do more because they don't lift themselves up as you push them in. You're even allowed to, Rashi explains, you're allowed to put your arms around their head a little bit and give them a little more zets to get back into the field. What about children? Isha, that's all about muksa. Now we switch to children, so the poskim say that now we're talking about a Rosh Hashanah Rav issue. Right? You're in a place without an Erev, and your 2.5-year-old is walking, and all of a sudden they plop down, and I'm not walking anymore, sorry. Right? So Isha Medades Benah. So a man also can take a walk with his kid, but I guess Isha Medada Es Benah. A woman could be Medada, could, like we just had the word Medada, she could put her body around the child and give him a little help in terms of his walking. Amr of Yehuda, Emasai, when is she allowed to do this? Only, Bizmashu Notol Achaz Miniach Achaz. That's only if he is also walking and you're kind of forcing him to walk. Avalim Haya Gorer, if he just has his feet on the ground and you're like dragging him, and so then, Usser, that is not allowed. That's considered your holding the child. Even though we pass and we say Chai Nosei Es Atzmo, right, we had all the way back in the Tzaddiks that a live person carries himself, but that only makes it a Durabanan. That doesn't make it Mutter. So still, this is Durabanan by Chai Nosei Es Atzmo. Amr Avida Marav. Behema Shanafla, let's talk about dealing with animals on Shabbos a little. Behema Shanafla Amas Hamayim, maybe Karmic Sassus Miniach Tachtel. Let's see, an animal falls into the stream, falls into the water on Shabbos. You're not allowed to take it out directly. Why muksa? But you're allowed to put, like, say, a pillow or something underneath it so that it could go on and come out that way. Vim also, and if it comes up, it comes up. Fine. Meisve, but the Tosefta says, where the Tosefta says you're not allowed to do that. Tosefta says you just have to give it food or whatever it is, where it is, keep it sustained, and then do whatever you have to do after Shabbos. Parnasa in karmetzasos lo, mashma, you can only feed it where it is, but you can't put pillows and stuff under it. So Mara says, no, lokash, there's no steer between the two. Had the esher b'parnasa, had the esher b'parnasa. Depends if it's possible to sustain it where it is for the rest of Shabbos. Esher b'parnasa in. If it's possible to sustain it where it is, that's what you have to do. You can't move it at all. Be low, but if you can't sustain it where it is, maybe karm v'ksasazu miniach tachtel. Then you could bring a car, you could bring a pillow or something, and put it under it. What about if it's mom is drowning? And you karm exasos aren't enough. The only thing the only thing you could do is to grab it directly. The Mishavura quotes a machlokas aposkim. The Mishavura in Shinhei Sifkat and Ayin quote is a machlokas achronim whether you're allowed to do that, whether you're allowed to violate muksa mamish biadayim in order to save the animal. Again, you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos daraisa for an animal. You know, though how much we love our a pet. You know, it's for a Jew there are certain laws, and for you know, and for animals, there are less. You can't mechal Shabbos. Animals are animals. We love animals. But as we'll see, we believe in Tzar Bala Chaim in one more line. But violating directly is a machlokas aposkim. The Gemara says, how are you allowed to put the karmic sasos underneath the animal? Aren't you creating more muksa? So the Gemara says, no. Savar mevata klim echano drabanan. Bit of creating muksa is an issa drabanan. Tzar Bala Chaim da oraisa. V'yasi da oraisa v'dachi drabanan. The daraisa of tzar bala chayim, of preventing animals from having pain, is docha the draban. There is a discussion in the postkim. Is tzar bala chayim only you're creating a painful situation? Here it's even more than that. Here the animal slipped in himself. But the Gemara still calls it tzar bala chayim, that we're not trying to try not to let animals suffer. Is drowning tzar bala chayim? So in achinami, that's why you're allowed to do karm v'ksasos. But the question is, that's mevatach l'meichano is drabanan. But so what about muksa? So muksa is also drabanan. That's the reason for the poskim that say that you're allowed to. But others might say muksa is a chamer drabanan. So you can't compare all drabanans. So that's why it is an issue. 2 points on this line. Number one, what's the source for tzar bala chayim in the Torah? What does it say in the Torah that you're not allowed to torture or have to get animals out of pain? So Rashi here quotes azov ta'azov imo. Or the pasuk that if you see your friend's animal under a big burden, you have to try to help the animal out. That's the makar. Azov tazov imo. The Meiri here quotes losachsom shor b'disho. But it says you're not allowed to muzzle your animal when it's grazing, because it's painful for the animal to see the grass and not being able to take part in it. I saw quoted the Sefer Chasidim says the makar is by Bilam. Al mehi kises asoncha. Why are you hitting me? The donkey said to Bilam. Maybe that's a makar for tzar bala chayim. But either way, the Gemara here calls it doraisa. Just one more ha'ara, and then I'll take the question on this. And that is, the Rush here says that this is the makar for allowing a guy to milk your cow on Shabbos. Because, you know, if the cow has this milk in his udders, it's very painful for them. So that's why you're allowed to have the guy to milk the cow. Because that's tzar bala chayim is doraisa, and to have a guy do it is a drabanan. And therefore, that's allowed. And the Shemir Shabbos, we don't have time to read it, but the Shemir Shabbos in Berachav Zion has a whole discussion of the frum kibbutz in Eretz Yisrael, where they have these cows. What do you do? Let's say these production factories. You have these cows on Shabbos, and Chaliva on Shabbos is an Issa Daraisa. So what do you do? And let's say you can't have you can't have Arab workers. So what do you do? So you have to do it Holech Le'ibud. You have to do it onto the ground. You have to do it. So it's this is the issue of Tzar Bala Chaim. So you're allowed to do it, but you can't do it directly. You can't do a Malacha Daraisa just for Tzar Bala Chaim. Interesting. The Shmir Shabbos is a halachic work. And this is, I think, one of the only lines that I found in here that he gives a little hashkafa or bracha. Hashefri says that this is what the farmer should do. Hashem hatov yamaleis chesronam shel eila hamosher mesnafshem alkiim torasenu hakadosha. Those who have mesiris nefesh that give up 1/7 of their production, Kodesh Baruch Hu should be mali their chisaron. But that's the issue of tzar bala chayim. Yeah.
And what about sending the mother bird away?
What about sending the mother bird away? So again, that Gemara in Brachas talks about whether that's Rachmanus, whether that's based on Rachmanus, whether it's a din that we don't think of the reason. But that is interesting. That's also a possibility. For Tzar Bala Chaim, you don't want her to see the painful, taking her child away. Interesting. Maybe some people quote it. I'm not sure. Third wide line. Tadagol Shabarcha, this hen that runs away. Dochen in Medadin Los. The Gemara says, you're only allowed to give the hen a little push, but you can't do what the Medadin, which is stronger, putting your arms around it and bringing it in. Tanina lahadatana rabbana, and it fits into the following. Medada mei mechayev of b'chatzer. You're allowed to be medada. You're allowed to grab around these other animals in the chatzer. Avalos a tanagolas, but not the hen. Tanagolas my time alo. Why is a tanagolas different than others? Rabbi Mishim de mikpi nafsha. Tanagolas, a hen always picks itself up. So therefore, if you put your arms around it, so then it's going to pick itself up and it's going to lift itself up and it's going to be real muksa. But other animals, you know, don't lift themselves up so much, and therefore you're allowed to put your arms around it and give it a little more of a push. Only in a chatzer, though, Rashi says. But you still, even if it's a rabbim, you can't do it because the animals might pick themselves up, but they're just not usual to pick themselves up. Tani chada, we have a steer in brises. One brises says, you're allowed to be medade, you're allowed to grab around these animals in the chatzer, and not in shizarabim, and an isha is allowed to do that to her child, and truly in a chatzer. But tani idach, and another brises says, in okrin behem b'chayv of b'chatzer, v'dochen b'hachi yikansu. You can't mamish lift them up, but you're allowed to be doche them. You're allowed to just push them from the back. So hagufakash, there's a stira. Amart, the second brisa. Amart ain't okrin. The second brisa says you're not allowed to mamish lift them up totally, which is mashma v'duye midad dinan, but you're allowed to grab them and push them. But hadar amir, but then it says dochin in midad lo. Then it just says you're allowed to give them a little push from the back, but not grab them around. So amar abaya seifas amatana golas. The last line that says that you're not allowed to grab them around, talking about the hen, which we said has different halachas than other animals. Amar Abaya, hi man, the shachat on a golis, somebody who's shechting a hen, l'chbeshinu l'kare ba'ara, he should either stick the legs in the ground, inami nedal l'hu meidal, or lift it totally off the ground. The dilma manach l'lutufri ba'ara ba'akar l'lusimane, because a hen could grab on and get stabilized with the ground, and then shake around a little bit as you're about to shecht it, and be oker the simanim. What's oker the simanim? There are five psulei shechita. Anybody learn Maseches Chulin before, or Yoredeya? There are five psulei shechita, which any one of these will passel your shechita. One of them is called ikur. It's hagrama, drasa, chalada, shahia, ikur. What's ikur? It's a discussion in the Rishonim, but Rashi here says, it's one of the shechita, Rashi here doesn't say, but the sheet of the Shulchan Aruch quotes is that the simanim, which have to be cut, will be separated from the rest of the body. That's ikur, from the jaw. So therefore, you're worried that if this tarnagolas gets to shake around and gets stabilized on the ground, so then that would be something that would be a problem. That's why you have to make sure that you don't let it get stabilized before, you stabilize it so it doesn't shake around before you shaft it. Okay, two more minutes. Let's do a couple more lines. Amy Alden is a behemoth beyond. If you're not allowed to directly help an animal give birth on Yante, if Rashi here says because of Tircha Yaseira, the Ritva says Makib Apatish. You're being Misaki. You're being Misaki in this animal. Ava Misadin. You're allowed to help it a little bit, but you're not allowed to mamish go in and take the Vlad out. But obviously, by a woman, you're allowed to do anything, everything you can. By a woman in childbirth on Shabbos, you're allowed to call a midwife from anywhere. You're allowed to be Michal Shabbos and do everything. Because there's a tibur, you're allowed to tie up the umbilical cord. You even cut the umbilical cord. And any tzarchei mila, also you're allowed to do on Shabbos. That already is a connection to the next parak, which we're going to do by the Shem, Rabbeinu Zeh Mila B'Shabbos on the next daf, which is all about Mila B'Shabbos. Keitza Misadin, how you're allowed to help an animal on Shabbos? Review the Amar Ocheses Havalad Shlo Yipala Aris. You're allowed to catch the baby. Rabbi Nachman Amar Dochek B'Basar. No, you're not allowed to. You're allowed to even do more. You're allowed to push the flesh of the animal to the side. Kedeshiyetsi Havalad, so the Vlad comes out more. Tani Gavas Rabbi Yehuda. There's a brace of us like Rabbi Yehuda. That's the first sheet. Keitza Misadin Ochsens Havalad Shlo Yipala Aris. You're allowed to catch the animal so it doesn't fall down. V'Nofeach Lo B'Chotmo. You're allowed to breathe into its nostrils. Help it breathe and put the dad of the mother into its mouth so it can start nursing. Amazing halacha here. We bring love to the mother animal of a kosher animal on Yantif. Because we don't want chas v'shalom for the mother animal to leave its young and desert it, so we do something to make sure that the mother loves the child. What do we do? Hechi avid amar abaya mevi bul shel melach. We bring some salts umeiniach la b'toch arechem, and we put it on the wounds in the uterus. Kadesh tizkart saira, salt on the wounds. We know what that feels like, right? So that she has more pain v'tarachim alav, and then she'll remember the pain of the childbirth, and therefore she'll have more love for her child. Where does that come from? If you remember back, I didn't say anybody connect this, but if you remember back on Pei Tesla Bays, we had a discussion where Am Yisrael are going to all the Avos, and Hashem's going to all the Avos to daven for the Bnei Yisrael. So Hashem goes to Avram Avinu, daven. Avram says, sorry, you know, they this is what they deserve. Hashem says, I'm going to go to Yaakov Avinu. He had more tzar gidol banim, so he's going to daven for them more. What does that mean? The more pain, the more you put the kishkes into something, the more you feel for them. Reb Dessler writes in one of his essays, the more you give, the more you love. Not the more you love, the more you give. Parents love children so much because they give their kishkas to the kid. It's not because they love their children and therefore they give them so much. The more you give, the more you love, Reb Dessler writes. So here too, the more you feel for the child, the more you love. And you also sprinkle some of the embryonic fluid on the baby, so that the mother smells him. And has rachmanis. And you only do this by tahar animals. But by non-kosher animals, you don't have to do this. My time, why? Because we manafshach. We're not worried. By non-kosher animals, they're more connected to their children. They'll never leave them. The Imrakavalda, and if they ever do leave their Vlad, lo makarva. So then they're not, they wouldn't never go back. I was ready to be out of the group, and they won't take them back. Okay, we'll stop here. Other Shem will continue tomorrow. Sponsored by David Sviv and David Mordechai. Lili Nishmaso.